Him like he brought you through something. Praise him that he is God and by all by himself. My God. I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Lord Jesus. He's an awesome God. Can I get a witness? He is an awesome God. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Welch, for that song, The Blood. The blood. Yeah. The blood still works. Thank God for this opportunity to stand before his people and proclaim the gospel. It's not a playful thing to proclaim the gospel. It's a serious matter. And these men in the gospel knows that. I thank God for his healing, his blessings, and his deliverance. Because without him, I'm nobody. With him, I'm everything. Thank you, sister. So I thank him. Whew. Give me a moment. When I think about the blood, it does something to my inner being. That I have to show expressions on my outer being. And so I thank him for the blood he shed for me way back on Calvary. Can I get a witness, someone? I won't be before you long. I know we have to be somewhere. Or you have to be somewhere. I know you got to go and get something to eat and relax for on this Sabbath day. But there is a word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I ask that you will open up to the New Testament, the book of Acts. Chapter 16, and we're going to look at two verses. If you have it, say amen. And it reads, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Read the last part again. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. You can be seated. I looked at this text, and I have preached this text many times, and as I looked at it and began to look what God has for me in this text, these two scriptures, I noticed something different this time as I read these two scriptures. And it kind of brings a song that's popular now, that's out right now. It's a song by Donald Lawrence. And it says, "Lord, deliver me." Y'all know that song. Y'all heard that song. And that last part of that song, it says, "This is my Exodus." And so when I was looking at this text, I pulled Paul and Silas out, and I put myself in that position, and I realized this is my Exodus. So that's my title today. This is my Exodus. You touch yourself and hold yourself. Say, "This is my Exodus." Come on, do it. Grab yourself and hold yourself. "This is my Exodus." How many of you in this place at this very moment need God to make a way for you? I ask this question because it brings forth the reality that someone, something in your life you cannot fix, you cannot handle, and only you know that God can make a way out of no way. The swiftness and surety of your deliverance starts with how you respond to hard time and difficult situations. Your faith has to be the avenue to your deliverance. Let me say that again. Your faith has to be the avenue to your deliverance. Hebrews 11:1 said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith should be in your prayers and in your praise. Hear me when I say this. It is not enough to thank God for the things he has done for you, but you need to learn how to praise God in your bad situations. When you pray and praise God in your bad situation, you confuse the devil. The reason I say that, the devil is the what? Author of what? Confusion. But he don't like to be confused. Amen. You got to let the know that this here, you can't touch. I'm a child of God. This belongs to God. So you need to tell the devil, on this day, you can't touch me. You can't bother me. You can't do nothing to me. Because on this day, this is God. God wants you to show the extent of your faithfulness and trust him even in the midst of going through. Listen, the power of your praise will determine the magnitude of your exodus. Praise is not to clap your hands or to shout in voices. It is a transformation in your inner being, expressing the outward emotion of what he has done in your life. Now, if I can just take a poll in here today, if I can just take a moment and ask you, have God done something in your life that make you raise your hand, make you get up out your seat, and make you shout, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. I see I got a few witnesses here tonight that God has done something in your life. Can I get a witness, someone? Can you just stand up on your feet and say, Lord, thank you for what you have done in my life? Touch your neighbor and say, he's been good to me. Yeah, he's been good to me. He's been good to me. Anybody in here recently experienced the move of God? How did you feel when God moved something in your life? How was your reaction when God took something out of your life and put something that's good in your life and you just could not hold yourself? It's just like fire shut up in my bones. Sometimes I just got to shout because what he has done in my life. Somebody got to get that. Lord, have your way in this place at this very moment in your people. I need to say that again. Lord, have your way in this place at this moment in your people. You still haven't got it. Lord, have your way in this place at this moment in your people. I guess you go get it when you get home. Listen. Listen. Let me get to the text part of this. Paul and Silas was on a mission. Paul and Silas took up the cross and walked daily preaching and teaching the gospel, even though they found themselves in the shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death. Paul did not stop. Paul did not cease. Paul did not turn around and run. Paul said, I'm going to face this no matter what comes. And that should be a testimony for all these preachers. No matter what goes on, no matter what somebody say about you, no matter what you're going through, you still preach the gospel. Your house might be in foreclosure, preach the gospel. Your car might be repo, preach the gospel. Your wife may have left you, preach the gospel. Why, you going to stay, aren't you? Good. I'm going to preach the gospel. Yeah. Yeah. Yay, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Look at this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I need you to look at that and recognize that there's going to be a point in your life that you're going to be in a valley in the shadow of death. But I need you to understand the other part of this. This says that I will fear no evil. I'm walking in it. I'm in the midst of it. But I have no fear of it. Y'all didn't get that. I'm walking in it. I'm in the midst of it, but I have no fear in it. Why? Because he is with me. His rod and his staff. Yeah, y'all getting it. Y'all getting it. Y'all getting it. As I go on and read the scriptures here, it It showed me what Paul was doing. It showed me what Paul have learned in his early age, being in the synagogue and learning all the scriptures and learning all the laws. Paul, even though he was in prison, Paul had an order on what he had to do. Even though he was locked up in shackles, Paul had an order that he had to do to get out. It says, Paul, what? He prayed, and then he praised. He prayed first. He praised second. And he said, he prayed first. Then he praised second. Listen, you pray to get strength and you praise for deliverance. Listen, Paul prayed for the strength that God would get him out of the situation. He already knew, so he started giving God some praise. So in your situation, you need to pray first and praise afterwards. Listen, bodybuilders, they lift weights to get strong, to get big, to get muscular. I got a few here and there, but used to have a six-pack. Now I just got a keg. That's all right. Listen, I'm trying to get back to that six-pack. It's going to take me some time, but I'm going to get there. Because I'm praying about it, y'all. And when I pray about it, it's going to happen. Amen? So I'm praying about it, that nephew, that I get that. If it's just four, I'm good. I'm good. Ain't that right, cuz? If it's just four, I'm good. Two, I got to keep working on. But if it's just four, I'm straight. I'll pull that pants up on the other two. I'll be all right. But listen, Paul prayed first, and then he praised God. Listen, can I tell you something? Prayer is your strength. And your praise show your deliverance. Praise is essential in the life of Christians. It puts your mind on God and God on your mind. The fact that God is on your mind releases you from worrying about your situation. Your situation is present. It's real. It's not a reality show, but it's real. It presses on you. It makes your heart heavy. It puts a strain on your mind. It seizes you from thinking about God on a daily basis. Your circumstances can pull you. They can pull you in directions that keep you from going in the direction that God wants you to go. It seizes you from walking forward with the Lord. And it makes you say some things to some people that you don't ordinarily say. Instead of you saying bless you to somebody in your situation, you might want to to that one. Y'all know what I'm saying. I can't say it up here. Can somebody say it for me? Nobody gonna say it out there either. Amen. Nobody gonna say it. But you can say some words to someone that you normally don't say to. And it takes you out of your, thank you, it takes it out of your character. And it makes that person look at you and say, I thought he was a Christian. And then now you have to go back and remake that right. But you can't, because it's already been saved. Only one that can fix that is God himself. Can I get a witness, someone? So I'm telling someone today that you may say something wrong to someone. Don't go and try to mess. Don't go and try to fix it, because all you're going to do is mess it up some more. Because that person is not going to look at the words you said. That person is going to look at the word that you already said. And he's going to look at you sideways. Look at that nigga there. I thought he was a. Yeah, I said it. Because that's what we think sometimes. Listen. Paul is in Silas is they're in prison. They're locked up. They're bound. And Paul and Silas begin to pray. They begin to rock as they pray. Paul said that I'm just putting this out here. Paul said that I got to give God some praise. I know I only can move so much because I have these shackles on my feet. So I can't really move. So I'm going to pray him. I'm going to pray to him. But eventually, something's going to happen. Paul knew something was going to happen, so he just kept on praying. He just kept on praying. Even though he could barely move from where he was, he just kept on praying. Paul is telling you that no matter how much you are locked up, brought down, in compact, you just keep on praying. Because eventually, your prayers is going to shake some things in your life. And when it starts shaking some things in your life, eventually, those shackles will come off your arms. Eventually, you can just keep moving, but you can raise your hands then. And as you keep giving him some praise, eventually, those shackles will come off your feet. Then you can just step back. And you can start hopping and jumping and saying, Lord, I thank you for releasing me in the midst. In the midst of your troubled times, there is a God that can come and see about you. Can I get a witness? Even in the midst of your good days, even in the midst of your bad days. Y'all know this song. Well, I won't complain. Even in the midst of my good days or my bad days, I won't complain. And Paul proved this when he was in prison. Paul showed this when he was locked up. I like this other verse. It says, sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. You find yourself asking this question, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes can't see, so I'll just say, somebody got it. So I'll just say, I won't complain. You may feel like a prisoner in your situation. You may feel like that that you got locked up and you're in a dark place. Your situation can put you in that matter. But do what Paul does. Pray and praise. Pray and praise. Those things got to happen because those things cause a release in your life. And sometimes, y'all hear this, while you praising God, your neighbor probably say, it don't take all of that. Well, you don't know my story. My story has some valley time. My story has some shadow of death time. You don't know my story. So when I'm going through something, I'm going to give him some praise. It's going to take all that. Thank you. And some. Despite the pain that you have endured this year, despite the suffering you're going through this year, I come to tell you today that there is an exodus about to happen in your life. Something is going to break through in your situation today. How many believe that? How many believe that that your exodus is just right around the corner? And I noticed something else in this text that it boggled my mind, but I got an understanding on it because I commune with God. That the foundation, the earthquake shook the foundation, and the doors and chains was loosened. But if you look at that, the door and the chains were not only loosened on Paul and Silas, it was loosened on everybody that was in prison. I need you to catch that. I need you to hold on to that. Paul and Silas prayed and praised. But God releases everyone. I need y'all to get that. Paul and Silas prayed and praised. But everybody around them was loose. What's that telling you, preacher? That when you pray and praise, trust and believe that your neighbor, and your neighbor, and your neighbor is going to be released. Your praise can help someone. It can help them get to their exodus moment. Praising God. To become second nature to all believers. Psalms 102 and 18 said, This shall be written for the generations to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Listen, we are created to praise God. It's because of our nature, expression of our love for the Father when we spend time in His Word. Meditation needs to take place in your life. Let me say that again. Meditation on God's word needs to take place in your life. If you do not meditate on God's word, you will not get an insight of what He's trying to tell you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16 says, encourages. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this God will for you be who being to Christ Jesus. Listen, brothers. As I looked at verse 26, I realized that not only Paul and Silas' doors was open just as the chains fall off, but I recognized that Paul did not move. Paul did not get up and run out. Paul did not say, let's go, it's time for us to get out. Paul stayed what? Still. Because Paul's ministry had an effect in the jail cell, but he realized it wasn't finished. Paul stayed because there was a jailer. Y'all know the story. That the king said that if Paul and Silas will escape or leave, you will be put to death. Listen, but Paul, get this, Paul wasn't there when the king said it to the jailer. He stayed because God said, I'm going to release you, but there's still work to be done here. And he stayed because there was someone, not everyone, someone that needed to be saved. And that should be a testimony to these preachers that you can't save everybody, but you can say a word to save one person. So Paul stayed, and the jailer came and was going to commit suicide. And Paul screamed out, don't harm yourself. We are still here. And I like this part, that the jailer, in the stage that he was in, a suicidal stage. Y'all gonna get this in a minute. He was in a suicidal stage, but he came in and he came into Paul. His mind was on the set to kill himself, but he came into Paul. He had to do what he had to do to himself, but he came to Paul. What are you trying to say, preacher? That it may be somebody in your life that's going to commit suicide. And if you tell them, do not harm yourself, I know somebody that can fix that situation that you're going through. They're going to come to you. Did you save them? Yes, you did. You had a part in saving them. Because that person was about to commit suicide. So when somebody say that I'm going to do something to myself, pay attention to them. Pay attention to them. Young people, suicidal rate is so high now, it's higher than it's ever been before. If you hear somebody say they're going to do something to themselves, go tell somebody. Say something. Because you can save a life. And that life that you save may become your best friend. Oh, my God. So say something. Last thing, and I'm going to wrap it up here. How many of you have shown your praise publicly? Why did you ask that, preacher? Because somebody might be in a valley at that moment and see you praising God at that moment and realize there is somebody that I can go to. There is somebody that I can depend on. There is somebody that I can go talk to. Listen, your praise should be public, not only in God's house, but out there in the world. Your prayers could be in private, but your praise should be public. They need to see that. Because Matthew says, 18 and 20 says, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, he said, I will be in the midst. Listen, the first line of defense in believing of God's word is meditating and giving it life and speaking over your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances dictate your praise, but let your praise dictate your situations. Many of you can't praise God right now. I'm looking over the congregation now. Many of you can't praise Him right now. You're probably wondering, why is this preacher screaming at me? Why is he taking so long in his preaching? Don't you know it's almost Luby's time? I done cooked my food and is there waiting for me. Why is he taking so long? Well, this is why. How many of you out there know for a fact that prayer changes things? How many of you out there know that prayer can give you peace in the midst of your storms? How many of you know out there that prayer can give you an avenue to God? Touch your neighbor. Put your hands on your neighbor. Touch him. Just do all this to him. Just touch him all over. Sorry, Reverend. Man. Didn't mean to. Touch your neighbor. Touch your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you pray for me, I pray for you. And watch God change some things. Come on. You pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. And watch God change some things in your life. Can I get a witness, somebody? I hate to do this again. I know he wasn't having none of that. Listen. Don't touch your neighbor. Look at your neighbor this time. Tell your neighbor, I know the Lord will make a way somehow. Can I get a shout in here this day? I know the Lord will make a way somehow. I know the Lord will make a way somehow. Come on, give a shout in this house tonight. Come on, give him some praise. Yes, he will. Tell your neighbor, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Won't he do it? Come on, won't he do it? Come on, give him some praise in this place. Let him know that you, God, I know you can and I know you will. Listen, I'm gonna finish here in a second. God can keep your enemies at bay. He can put them in a position that they cannot touch you. Say it, Sister McCloud. And I know for a fact, because I know some of my enemies. Anybody guys know your enemies? Come on, do you know your enemies? And you realize that they're your enemies, but they can't touch you. Why is that? Because God has put a hedge of protection around you that keeps your enemies at bay. But listen, this is what the part you should be doing. If he got your enemies at bay and he got a hedge of protection around you, you need to pray for your... Come on, somebody. Because sometimes your enemies, when you pray for them, become your friends. And God will take that hedge around you and put it around your friend. So now not only you are protected, but your friends are protected, and your friends' friends are protected. Isn't it awesome? God just works so good. And another thing, I know I said it three. How many times I said it? I'm almost wrapped up. Four times, Sister McCloud? I'm working on five. Y'all bear with me here. Listen, in your praise and in your prayer, God blesses you. He looks past your faults. And what he does, Sister McCloud? See about your... How many of you need something? Come on, how many of you need something? You need something, but you know that you haven't been doing right. All right now. But God still... Come on, somebody, that should be a shout right there. Even though I've been doing wrong, God still come and see about my needs. Let everything. That has. Let everything that have. Praise the Lord. If you got breath in, why don't you give a shout to God right now? Come on, he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Listen, come on, praise him right now. Come on, y'all. I know y'all probably tired, ready for me after, but give him some praise. Give him some praise. It says because of the rising of the sun and the going down of the same, he is worthy to be praised. Can I get a witness, somebody? The Lord is worthy to be praised. Though I'm in a prison situation, though I have shackles on my feet, let me encourage you that when you pray and when you praise God, watch your exodus happens. God bless you. May God keep you in this word. Come on, give him some praise in here. Hell, somebody know that he's worthy. Give him some praise. Isn't God good? Come on, isn't he good? Come on, shout that he is good. And this place.